Blog Talk Radio.
I know you want to get up and dance. Come on, y'all.
what?
Illegally, our government are taking care of,
okay? So that's a really touchy subject, and but we had a great time yesterday, okay? Now, today's word of the day is Ralph Skeller, okay? Ralph Skeller. I don't know where they come up with this stuff from, but I have to do it. Ralph Skeller, R-A-T-H-E-L-L-E-R, Ralph Skeller. And Ralph Skeller is a noun, and it means a usually basement or tavern. I'm sorry. It is usually basement, tavern, or restaurant, a Ralph Skeller. Okay, y'all remember the show Cheers? Cheers was a Ralph Skeller. Cheers was a tavern in the basement. So you have to walk down the stairs. Like, if you come in from the street, then you had to walk down the stairs to get to the tavern or the bar. Cheers was a Ralph Skeller. Okay? A usually basement tavern or restaurant. That's a Ralph Skeller. Okay? Beneath the service club's new meeting hall is a Ralph Skeller that is open for lunch and dinner. That's a Ralph Skeller used in a sentence. Okay? So now you guys have a new word, Ralph Skeller. Okay? So let's get into today's show. Today's episode is entitled, How Do Debt Collectors Work? How do debt collectors work? Okay? Now, this is something that, hey, on my show, I'm always 100%, okay? I give you guys my opinion. I give you guys, tell you guys how I feel. And if, you know, I have experienced it, then I'll tell you my experience, okay? And I have experienced debt collectors making calls to me. I have experienced that. I don't anymore because they're all gone. Okay? But I ran a courier service and I also ran a limousine service that I was doing stuff with. Okay? I had to get stuff in order to run the business. And when the business failed, when everything fell apart, when the housing market failed, a lot of us failed as well. Okay? So I had to deal with debt collectors for months. And I'll give you guys some scenarios about how they actually work and what's their protocol and things like that. So let's get into it, okay? How do debt collectors work? Now, if you have a debt, let's say, I don't know, you bought some furniture from someone, Rooms to Go, Haverty's, whatever you may call it, and you defaulted on the loan for that furniture, okay? Now, they're not going to come pick up that furniture, all right? You owe them that money, and they want it, right? So they're going to send debt collector after you to get their money, all right? Now, sometimes they will, usually, they will cancel that debt. They will, you know, send it off so they can write it off, all right? They feel like they're not going to pay and they can't get you to pay, so they'll write it off. So the debt collector will look in the books once they do that, because they can't just go in the Rooms to Go and look in their books and find out who owes them money. But once they cancel the debt, send it out there, then the debt collectors will grab it and they'll pay for it. They'll buy your debt from Rooms to Go, Haverty's, or whatever. They'll buy that debt. And then they tell Rooms to Go, hey, we'll collect this debt for you and we'll give you a percentage of it and we'll take a percentage of it. That's how they make money. Okay? Right? And that's how they work. And they're, some of them are the scum of the earth. If you ever dealt with a debt collector, you'll understand that. Now, I have a caller from the 404 area code. The first three digits are 557. 404-557. Caller, you're live on the show with Frank Williams. Go ahead with your comment.
Yes, Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, sir. Appreciate being on your show.
No problem.
Yeah. I appreciate the info that you, you know, were saying about what their job is and how it all, you know, works together. And appreciate that.
Mhm.
And, you know, just back in 2006, I went to the hospital for appendicitis, and I didn't have insurance, and racked up a good bill because I spent a week in the hospital, and basically tried to get financial aid because my bill as a whole was like $25,000. And so I thought, okay, well, I didn't have insurance, try financial aid. And then I was denied financial aid.
Okay, were you
and,
were you working at the time?
Yes, sir. I was working, but I was like, I left a place and then went to another place. So in between that transition, wasn't there long enough to get insurance yet.
Okay.
And so then, you know, they're like, okay, we can set up a payment plan and you know, go from there. And, you know, there was no discussion at first, though. Like, it was a bill sent to me from the hospital saying, like, I owe, like, $50, but there was no discussion. It was like they were going to tell me what I was going to pay. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I was like, well, I felt like, well, I need to let them know, like, you know, $50, I'm not doing that. So there was no discussion. And I said $25. And it went in, you know, they accepted that. And then, you know, just from over time, I've had them call me and ask for more money. And then I tried to financial aid again, and it didn't work again because I make too much money. You know, it's like I go to work every day, try to do the right thing, and I get penalized.
Right. So what's going on right now is do they have a debt collector after you right now?
Well, I mean, they still have the same debt collector that I've always had, yeah. And, I mean, they're not really aggressive about it, but the fact that they never, you know, try to help me out, and I explain that to them at the same time, like, you know, a while back, probably like a year or so ago, they called me wanting more money, and I just let them know, hey, no one's helped me either in all this time.
Right.
So I just told them, go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Well, I just told them basically how I felt about the situation. I felt like, you know what, I've been paying it. I haven't tried to hide it or whatever. And you know what I mean? Try to do the right thing. And then they're like, oh, you need to pay more. And I was like, well, you didn't help me. And I said, I tell you what, you're going to get what I give you, or you can write it off or whatever y'all want. I'm done with this. And that's just how I felt.
So, and now this was the hospital that you were dealing with and not the debt collector, was it? Or was this the debt collector?
When I got the phone call to pay more?
Yeah.
Over time? Yeah, that was the debt collector, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like the hospital sent the debt collector after you. But here's the deal. Legally, once you make a payment to the hospital, okay, or once you set up a payment plan with the hospital or the debt collector, either one, once you set up once you have some kind of payment plan set up with them and you start making payments, what you have to do is you have to tell them, hey, I can only pay you $25 a month. That's what my budget allows, okay? Once you send them that $25, if they cash that check for $25, then that's their way of accepting your monthly payment. If you send them $25, they accept it, they cash the check, then if that's all you can send, that's all you can send. You don't go to jail, you know. People, you know, get so worried about debt collectors and this and that. But in America, people don't go to jail for debts, okay? So, and the debt collector it's rules for them as far as contacting you and sending you things in the mail and all this that kind of stuff, what they can and what they can't do. A lot of them push the envelope, but once you set up that payment plan and start making those payments, there's nothing else they can do. They can take you to court or whatever. The judge will tell them, hey, you know, you accepted this amount from this guy. Then that's where he can pay. If you send them $10 a month and they take that $10 and they cash that check, hey, that's what they accept.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, and then, you know, early on, you know, it's 2014 now, so that's some years ago, you know, and I'm still paying on it, and you would think there might be some resolve or something out there. And there was a thing or a, I don't know what you'd call it, called the Fairness Foundation, and I tried to get them to help me, and that didn't work at all. And then I even talked to, like a lawyer one time, and, like, the whole thing just kind of, like, went back on me, like I was a bad one. Like the people I talked to said, like, oh, we already talked to the hospital. And it just, like, turned it on me, you know, kind of thing. Like, I wasn't even trying to, like, get them to really do anything. I was just telling them my problem and see what, if there was anything, you know what I'm saying, to help me out with. And it just seems like there really is no, you know, resolution other than what I'm doing and paying what I agreed to and, you know, hopefully one day able to go, you know, just get better and be done with.
Well, and that's the whole thing, is that once you've been making payments every month, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now the next time you make a payment, you need to write a letter, put a letter in there and make a copy of your letter. Make a copy of it and write the debt collector and let them know that, hey, this is what I can pay. This is all I can pay. I'm paying every month. I don't want you guys calling me or anything about this payment because this is what we agreed upon, and this is all I can pay. I mean, like I said, when people get in hardship and they can't make the payments, then all you can do, all they can do is take what you can send them. You got to send them something. But if you can send them something, then just send them what you can every month. But you got to put a letter in there and let them know not to contact you or anything because you're sending your payments every month. I don't care how long it takes you to pay it off. But there's nothing else that they can do. If you're making payments and they accepting these payments, there's nothing else, believe me, that they can do to you outside of, you know, keep calling you and harassing you. That's all they're doing. They're calling you and harassing you, trying to get you to pay them more money because that's how they make money.
Right. Well, they're really not calling me as much as, you know, maybe some other people will get. I'm just going to be upfront right about that. So, I mean, I don't have that. You know what I mean? It's not that bad. But I would like to go back to what I was saying before about the financial aid part. And I just don't think it's right when you go to work every day and they're like, sorry, sir or ma'am, that your income bracket is this X amount, and you're not qualified, because I don't think that's right. Because if you're going to work and trying to do the right thing, everybody goes through hard times, like you said, hardships. And I think that there should be some kind of system set up, no matter what your income is, that you should get help when it's needed. Not, you know, just frivolously given away, but looked at case by case. And, you know, gone that route.
Well, that's what I'm, that's, the whole deal is you have to be, I don't know what the exact word for it, maybe destitute or something. I'm not sure if that's the word for it, but you have to be like jobless, no job, unemployed, nothing. And there's nothing that they can do. If you don't have it, you don't have it. But if you have a job,
right,
then they're gonna want money, and they're gonna want a payment. And they have the right to, when you're on the job, when you do have a job, they have the right to come in and try to garnish your check if you're not paying. But you're paying every month, so there's nothing else that they can do. There's nothing else that they can do. Okay?
Right. So what is your thoughts on that whole financial aid income bracket? I mean, don't you believe that everybody needs help?
I believe that, but I don't know of any kind of system out there that would, other than just getting a loan and getting that loan to pay off that, but you still, that, you know, that's like robbing Peter to pay Paul, then you still have a loan sitting out there that you're going to have to pay every month to pay those folks back. I don't know of a system out there that'll take care of that.
Right.
I don't know.
So I was just wondering how the financial aid part worked anyway, you know, and that would be something that the hospital would have set up, you know, early on when the bill initially was made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's got to be, like, some kind of funding that they get, but they only give it to, again, you know, like I said, depending on where you're at on your income.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's fair, you know.
Right.
So I was making $10 an hour.
Yeah, and you know, they don't care. They're out there and you know, they don't care what you're making, how this is going, but if you have a job, then they're going to, you know, they feel like they can get their money and they're going to come after you. But, you know, I really don't know of a, I have another caller on the line that may have some answers. Let me see if I can get that caller up on the show. We're out of time, but caller, you're live on the show with Frank Williams from the 404 area code, the first three digits of 328. You're live on the show with Frank Williams. Go ahead with your comment.
Hey, yeah, I did want to call and offer some support to the young man. I mean, there are a couple of options. I know he said he's working and wants to do the right thing, but if it's causing him a financial hardship, I mean, he can consider bankruptcy. I know a lot of people, you know, don't want to go that route. And the second route, you said write a letter, he could just, you know, offer them a settlement. And if they would just, you know, take some type of settlement, and he could write the rest of it off at the end of the year on his taxes, and you could just be done with it instead of, you know, keep paying for it forever, you know, see if they come to some type of agreement with you and just offer them, you know, a couple $1,000 and ask them to write off the rest, and then you could write that off on your taxes the next year just like the big companies do.
Okay. Well, that may be an option, okay? But, hey, I appreciate you guys calling, and we're out of time, but, hey, we may grab this again tomorrow. Because I know I got a lot more people out here that want to talk on the show. We'll have that tomorrow. But join the show tomorrow, 6:30 p.m., and we'll talk about it a little more, all right? Take care, guys.
All
good
right.
Night.
All right. Thanks.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see.